بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. That's what you're going to experience, is something different from the normal bayan. This is normally what will take place in a madrasa, in a darul ulum. It is known as a dars of hadith. There was a time in the past where the durus of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take place in the masajid. The scholars, the general people, everyone would come. Because every person has a unique relationship with the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were times when you will hear Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu would go out in the market and he will say the inheritance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being distributed. And you people are here in the markets and people would say inheritance and they would run because barak, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something connected to him. Then they would come in the masjid and then they would see people narrating ahadith. Then they would say that no money was being distributed. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, what else is the inheritance? You would hear of the time of Imam Malik rahimullah, that was in Medina Munawwara. It was such a unique time that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his own era spoke about a time will come where you will see the camels coming towards Medina Munawwara, just in search of that knowledge. Imam Malik rahimullah would sit in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was always a desire within me that how we have this durus in the madaris, we should make it now armed to everyone. A person who sits in one gathering where the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are taught, he becomes a talib, a student. A famous incident is mentioned of a tabi'i, Zir bin Hubaysh. He had heard a narration from a sahabi, from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew the narration. But they had a certain desire that I want to hear it directly from the source. So he makes a very long journey. He travels. When he comes there, he speaks to the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, Safwan bin Asal. So he asks him, what has brought you? Like, so far you came, you must be having some work here. He said, I only came to listen to one narration that you heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi. One narration. Me and you, inshallah, in this gathering, perhaps you will hear one narration. But how he made that intention, I only came to hear one narration. Although he came far. Me and you haven't come far, but Almighty Allah appreciates. So you make this intention that how he came to listen to one, I came to listen to one, no other purpose. Safwan bin Asal radiallahu anhu said, glad tidings to you. I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that even the angels, they spread out their wings in respect of the one searching for the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a time when people started thinking a student is a student of a madrasa. So they asked, what you doing? So he said, I'm in the darulum, you a student. He said, what you doing? He said, I work in the business. That difference must never be there. Allah tabarakala make it every one of us. Whether I am in a madrasa, I am not in a madrasa. This honor that the angel will remain spreading out its wings for the student of knowledge. Hatta yarji'a, until he returns from his journey. There were those scholars in the past, even at an old age, when someone asked, what are you? What are you doing? He said, I'm a student. They wanted to live as a student and die as a student. That honor of having the angels, the greatest creation of Allah in what we call power. When those angels spread out their wings in honor, riban bima yasna, in happiness of what the student had done. Everyone must have this desire, the old, the young, the men, the women, everyone. And to be a talib of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's knowledge, because this knowledge is so unique, you don't have to be 6 years in a madrasa. You can be a student in 5 minutes. You just come into the masjid and you say, I want to learn one thing of my Nabi, you become a student. Almighty Allah has a lot of honor. The chapter that we will discuss, we had started a series a while ago in the madrasa, so it had brought us to the chapter of Salah. Then the desire was that, continuing with this, This kitab that is in front of me, it's a very big kitab. It doesn't have to be so big, so don't ever think knowledge is so big. It's just that I never have a small kitab with me at the moment. In Pakistan, in India, when they used to print it, instead of having so many different volumes and they print one big one, it makes you think you're like a very big person. But it's nothing big, you can have a small kitab also. Knowledge can come in a small pack, it can come in a big. The main thing of this knowledge is that we can trace even the exact wording to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when a person hears it, it makes him very, very affected that my Nabi also taught me this. My Nabi taught me this. So there are many actions in our deen that we do. But if you just understand how it was taught in the beginning. See, in madrasa we learned example. You will start your salah, say Allahu Akbar. Then read Surah Fatiha. So we've been reading Surah Fatiha. Now if you hear how that Surah Fatiha was taught, the whole thing changes now. Now how that Sahabi read that Surah Fatiha afterwards with that honor. My Nabi taught me. This thing has come with such a chain that the person who will read it now, it will be as though Allah's Nabi is teaching it to me. Now that Surah Fatiha changes its color completely. It is in the dars of hadith that one is the person will connect with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One he will connect with the Sahabi who narrates from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So always you will hear Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, Abu Huraira radiallahu anha narrates, and then that student who would come, what we will call a tabi'i, because he is narrating from that Sahabi, he would fall in love with that Sahabi. He would be ready to make the khidmat of that Sahabi. He would see the Sahabi, he would say, I'm a slave to you. This relationship of that love, if a person takes part in this dars of hadith, even though we are now 1,400 years past, you will see, you will fall in love with those people who narrated from Rasulullah. People at the moment in the world, Allah's Nabi said, one of the signs of Qiyamah will be when the ending people of my ummah will criticize the first people of the ummah. You will hear in the khutbah, they will say, Allah, Allah, fi ashabi. That fear Allah regarding my companions, don't make them a target for your criticism. But a person who never took them as his teacher, he will criticize. As for the person who understood, this is my teacher, that person who narrated or heard, I narrate from my mother Aisha radiallahu anha, that she becomes his mother, she is my teacher. He hears Abu Huraira radiallahu anha, said, that's my teacher. On that time, if someone now says something about your teacher, you say, hey, don't touch my teacher. That love is created. Whoever would take part in the dars. I will give you one example. Before going into the chapter what we wanted to discuss is the chapter of what we will read after saying Allahu Akbar and saying Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik after our thana. Then what we will read, we all know we will read Surah Fatiha. But the way it was taught to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So before going into the narration, I will just speak about example this Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. It's a name that we heard. But in the dars of hadith, it comes in a different color now. Now it's no longer a name, it's an individual, it's a person, it's a personality. So the tabi'i who's sitting in front of Abu Huraira, he doesn't see a name Abu Huraira. He sees a person. And he falls in love with this personality. He wants to know where this man came from. He wants to know the jokes of this individual. He wants to know when he was serious. He wants to know alive. He wants to know when he was passing away. A time comes when someone asks him, do you know anything about this man? He said, that's my teacher. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu's name is Abdurrahman. Abdurrahman bin Sakh. The word Hirra, Huraira means cat. So because when he was small, he used to go out to look after the animals, the shepherds. There was a cat, he used to take that cat, put it in his pocket. He used to go look after the animals, come back. He used to leave the cat. He had a relationship with the cat. But the cat, he wouldn't take it in the house. He would leave it outside. But when he would come, the cat would run to him, play with the cat. End of the day, he would put the cat by the tree again, go. So a time came and his father looked at him with that cat. He said, you like the father of a cat. That if you're not going to get a baby, a child, you're going to get a cat. So he called him Abu Huraira. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept this name with him. It became known. He was a man who loved cats now. It became his nature.
And you can understand how jokey they were. The word Hurairah means a small female cat. A small female cat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam one day called him Abu Hir. Hir means a male big cat. Hurairah means a small female cat. Hir means a male big cat. He became so happy. So happy. So when someone called him later on Abu Hurairah, he said, I just wish people stop calling me Abu Hurairah. He said, why? He said, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam one time called me Abu Hir. So Abu Hir doesn't sound so nice because you know the man is Abu Hurairah. So he said, you see, Hurairah is a small female cat. And Hir is a male cat. And he said, you know, males are always better than females. So can't you call me Abu Hir? This was their nature. They were like very like jovial. But Allah Pak never make it last. He was going to remain Abu Hurairah till the ending. The Sahabi radiallahu anhu had a unique nature. He was young when he came, young. That's why he's called the Imam of all students. A young boy, he accepts Islam. He gets 4 years with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 4 years. That's why our madrasa is made of 6 years. In that 6 years, they say take out the first 2 years, because the first 2 years is to learn the Arabic language. After the first 2 years, you got 4 years. If you can study like Abu Hurairah, you will be the teacher of the world. He only had 4 years. But in that 4 years, he was going to make the best of his time. So one thing he had, and this is for students, and this is to understand how they studied from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was nothing easy that they were doing. They made a lot of sacrifice for this narration to reach us. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, when he comes to Medina Munawwara, number one, he's not married. And because you are a young person, and we understand the environment of the land and the Arab land. When a person speaks about one wife, two wives, three wives, you always say the Arabs have four wives. You say they're hot in nature. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu was a young boy. He had a hot nature. But he thought that if I have to get married now, I will miss many ahadith. So he had so much of worry that he goes to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, that, O Nabi of Allah, will you allow me that I want to castrate? So that if I remove my power, then that thought about desires will never come. I won't have to ever get married. So much they wanted. So much. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not like this year. He wanted sabr. So we learn one thing. We tell normally fathers, if your child comes, daughter or son, if your child comes to you and say they need to get married, listen to them. Even if they're not mentally mature, they are physically mature. The best would have been physically mature, mentally mature. We're living in an era today, people are becoming mentally mature too long. Sometimes they're 30, 35, you still see them playing games. They're still physically they're old, mentally they're not yet mature. If you're going to wait for mental maturity, zina is going to take place. So the father, the mother is told, if your child today tells you, I need to get married, don't ever say you're too young, because that child at the age of 5 in school is already being taught what is called boy and girl, man and woman. If on the age of 5 they're teaching the child how to enjoy your body, understand your body, what to touch of your body, if that child from the age of 5 has to make sabr for the next 10 years, at the age of 15, if that child says, I need to get married, and you say, you're too young, that child will say, I'm making sabr for 10 years already. Me and you heard about marriage only when we were 12 or 13 years. From that time, we had to make sabr for another 5, 6 years. When we came to 18, 19, we said, Daddy, I think I need to get married. He said, no, you're a little young, another 1 year. This child is hearing it at the age of 5. They're not only hearing it, they are being shown. They are reading, they are listening, they are eating this. It's so much in their mind. When that child comes and says, I need to get married, Allah Tabarakallah said, وَلَا تُكْرِهُ فَتَيَاتِكُمْ عَلَى الْبِغَىٰ. Your girls, do not force them into adultery. Your girls, do not force them into adultery. Meaning your daughter comes and says, Daddy, I can't control it. Which girl will ever have that himmat to come? When a girl comes and tells her mother, tell daddy I need to get married, you must know your daughter really needs to get married. Now is not the time to say make sabr for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 3 years. My one friend, he became very upset because his daughter is studying. And then she met a boy and she wants to get married. And he checked up about the boy, nothing wrong with the boy. But he said, I want you to finish your studies. I asked him, how long you told her? He said, I only told her to make sabr only 3 years. That was only 3 years. Like, what a sentence. So there and there I told him, have you ever gone in Jamaat? I said, if you ever went in Jamaat, you'll know if you go for 40 days. I said, it all starts happening after 30 days. After 30 days, now you phone home. You say, make maaf. I miss you. I love you. How are you? 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. Let day 39 come in. Amir Saab says, you know what? Tashkil has been made. Only 4 months extra. Only 4 months. Only 4 months. Then you just see everyone's face like, that man will say, you know, I just have to go see the doctor at home, like. Just I got one appointment, I'll come back again. Then you'll tell him, you can't make sabr for 4 months. And you married so many years. You are, it's only 3 years. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, however, he couldn't get married. Allah tabarakallah in those very same verses, however, speaks to the children also. That sometimes your parents are going to act hard. وَلْيَسْتَعْفِفِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ نِكَاحًا. As for the one that hasn't got the ability to get married, Almighty Allah says he must work to be pure. You'll have to make an effort and it's not impossible. Wal yastafif. He said, go searching for your chastity. Wal yastafif. May yastafif yu'iffahu Allah. The one who searches to be pure, Allah says, I'll make him pure. Many of us, I want a pure nature. It doesn't come. You'll have to go looking for it. So he wanted, I don't want to get married. I want to study. He told, can't I cut, castrate, the desire will go. Nabi saw some one sentence he told him. He says, remember what Allah has written is going to happen. Whatever Allah has written is going to happen. Whatever was the meaning of that sentence, it had such an impact on Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that he understood that my Nabi doesn't want me to do this. And at the same time, I can't get married. So he just decided, he said, there's no other way but sabr and finished. All those thoughts in 1 second, he pushed it away. All those thoughts. This is the imam of ilm. When the student says, I can't control myself, he say, be an Abu Huraira. In 1 second, he just said, if I can't get married, and there's nothing else I can do, then sabr. And for knowledge, he said, I'll make sabr, and then he made it. In 4 years, one was the desire to get married. One was the desire of wealth. He saw people around him going to the markets. They were getting food. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wanted to go do business. But every time the thought came, I need to go get something. He worried, what if I go and Allah, your hand must open further. But you must keep yourself in such an easy life. Your hand must open further. But you must keep yourself in such an easy life that the child who's there learns also a difficult life. He is not meant to fall into luxury, which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِيَّاكَ وَالتَّنَعُمْ. And because South Africa in the last few years have seen a lot of luxury. This is why we cry when we're saying this here. This narration, إِيَّاكَ وَالتَّنَعُمْ. O servants of Allah, watch out for luxury. فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِالْمُتَنَعِمِينَ. Remember, Allah's selected servants don't fall into luxury. What was so worrying about luxury? We are reaching a time where perhaps many of us or our children will hear the call, which will say the flag of Islam is being lifted in the world. A call, what we call the call of the Mahdi. A call which might be called the call of two arms. That the Muslim world is now standing up again. But whenever Islam stands up, it can only stand up on the people who are not used to luxury. If a person is told, go in the tent, and he says, I can't manage, then that individual will say, I'll go back. I'm not going to go forward. If our children are going to see the days where we want them to be the people around the Mahdi. I've met an individual. He said this. He said when the war in Syria took place, he said, I sat for days thinking about why did Allah bring this punishment on our people. He said, we ran. Our families passed away, our madrasas collapsed, we ran. He says, then we had to grow up, we had to live in the deserts. Then we were put in refugee camps. Then someone said to us, why don't you start teaching? He said, I started teaching. He said, when I started teaching young boys, and I looked at those young boys who got no fathers now, and I see them coming to my dars without shoes and wearing any clothing. He says, what wallah, what I thought was musibat-e-tamma, what was a very big problem. He said, I understood actually it was the great mercy of Allah. He said, I thought about who will be the people around the Mahdi when his capital will be Damascus. I said, we were living in Damascus and I used to think there's no way we will stand up with the Mahdi. He says, today the students that I see in front of me studying, I say, wallah, they are made to be the students of the Mahdi. The people of the Mahdi. They got no clothing, they got no shoes, they're coming in the cold, they're sitting. Me and you do not want to ask for difficulty. May Allah Tabarakallah make every one of us and our children, we are able to link up with this unique army without having to see difficulty before this. But luxury. Umar radiallahu anhu, when the Muslims went into the land of Sham, he used to cry. And he used to say, if your child is wearing shoes every day, take out the shoes. So that he learns to walk barefoot. He would say, put him on the horse. He would say, send him in the desert. He said, let him learn what is a hard life. Because he knew a person who becomes used to luxury will never manage difficulty after. A man in difficulty can always go up. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu saw difficulty when he went up. They said he had a nature, he would just give everything away. Sometimes people tested him. This was Abu Huraira and he was very jokey, very jokey. So his cousin was Marwan. Marwan was the governor. Marwan used to make jokes with Abu Huraira. So on one occasion Marwan sends 1,000 gold coins. You would have to understand like the value. They had the silver coin dirham, they have the gold coin dinar. Dinar was like big for them. At the time when they used to get 100 dinars, it was like so much money. Now 1,000 was coming. So the 1,000 dinars came, and in the end of the day, Marwan sent somebody to come to Abu Huraira to say, you know, a parcel I dropped off in the morning, like, I hope you never use it up. This is how they used to make jokes, like, I hope you never use it up. So he said, what you mean? He said, no, Marwan said, it actually wasn't for you, it was somebody else. This is like the worst hadiya you can get in life. Someone comes and he gives you what he gave you, you get so thrilled, like you open up, you count, it's only 900, why you never gave 1,000? He said, never mind, I gave 900. But then he comes a third time, he say, you know, I gave you that envelope, sorry man, it's for your brother. Then you say, ah, okay. Your heart. Abu Huraira said, what you talking? He said, it was meant for somebody else. Abu Huraira was too unique. He said that, you know what, it's gone. It's gone. He said, it came and it went. He said, but don't worry, tell Marwan, don't stress. As soon as my money is coming, it's coming soon, the state has to give me a certain amount. As soon as it comes, I'm going to pay him back. Suddenly a debt came on him. He said, tell him, relax, he'll get his money back. But it's gone. So he said, Marwan only sent the money to Abu Huraira to test him. That how long does money stay with Abu Huraira? It would not even stay for a couple of hours. It came and everything went. They never changed. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would make tasbih of Almighty Allah. They write in the kitabs 12,000 times. This was his nature. Unique people they were. Someone said, you make 12,000 every day. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, I praise Almighty Allah according to the number of my sins. He says, I praise Almighty Allah in accordance to the number of my sins. When the demise of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was there, people came to visit him, he cried. So someone first made dua for Shifa. He said, hey, please don't make that dua. He said, I heard from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, fitan is going to come, trials. He said, I don't want to be allowed around in those trials. He said, that dua, just hold on. Then he cried. They asked him, why are you crying? He said, wallah, I don't cry for your world. He said, I never wanted this world. He said, I'm crying because I got a journey in front of me, very long. لِبُعْدِ السَّفَرِ وَقِلَّةِ الزَّادِ He said, but my arrangements that I made is not lot. Look at this man, who never saw the world, who is the teacher of hadith to the whole world, who gives money just like that. He's sitting and he says, the journey is long. He says, wallah, Abu Huraira sees himself at the top of a hill at the moment. Unique, the Arabic word is unique, mumbakit. That at the moment I am sliding down a hill. He said, as the slide is going to take place, one part of the hill is going to go towards Jannah. and one part is going to slide into Jahannam. He says, Abu Huraira, as I'm sliding down, I don't know whether I'm going to the right or I'm going to the left. And he just started crying. He even taught the world how to die, like, when I'm there on the top, where me and you, like, you know, I'm okay. So this is now when we start. So this is called a dars of hadith. After this, when you will hear the word Abu Huraira, naturally you will say, I love you, Abu Huraira. Radiallahu, I love you, I love your mother. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, from the people who narrate the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find his name too much. This took quite a bit of time. We will just explain one narration in this chapter of Ma Yuqra'u. What will be read after a person says, Allahu Akbar. So we know it's Surah Fatiha. But Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when he narrates it in a different manner. First, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, La salata. There is no salah at all. لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَأْ بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ For that man who doesn't read means who doesn't start his salah with Fatiha. Now what me and you understand with this here is Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. For them it was not this at all. When they spoke about quality. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, La iman. There is no iman for the person who hasn't fulfilled his promise. He wasn't speaking of the iman me and you know. He was speaking about quality. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu speaking of quality. He said, Wallah, there's no quality in a salat of a person who doesn't start with Al-Fatiha. Al-Fatiha. Now what does it mean to start with Al-Fatiha? So up till now when we say Allahu Akbar, we read Surah Fatiha. Reading Surah Fatiha is different. And opening our salah with Surah Fatiha is different. Reading Surah Fatiha, it is called Al-Fatiha, the opening. It opens something. Ulama have mentioned Surah Fatiha in salah. They write in the kitabs, it opens up for the seven, what we will call a'adha. When you will make sajda, you will see your hands will touch the ground, that's two. Then your knees will touch the ground, that's four. Then your feet are on the ground, that's six. And then the forehead is pressing on the ground with the nose, that's seven. These seven things which are going to submit to Almighty Allah, they write the one who starts with Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha opens up every door of goodness for the seven limbs. Surah Al-Fatiha. But who it will open it up for? For the one who doesn't read Fatiha. He uses Surah Al-Fatiha to open. Under it they write, other ulama said, as a person, there's seven verses in Surah Fatiha. They said on every verse, if the man knows how to read it, Allah closes one door of Jahannam per verse. Seven doors of Jahannam at the end of Surah Fatiha which comes. When the Imam says Ameen, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the angels say Ameen. He said you also say Ameen. He said if your Ameen can be like the Ameen of the angels. Ulama say what does it mean to be like the Ameen of the angels? Some say in that khushu and khudu. Some say with that conviction when the angels say, Oh Allah, accept this dua. Your Ameen is on that. Oh Allah, accept. He said, just at the end of Al-Fatiha, your every sin is forgiven. The salah hasn't yet started. That is why Al-Fatiha was called in this hadith, salah itself. In this hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, there is no salah for a man who can't start with Al-Fatiha. He said his salah is khidaj. Khidaj meant that the camel gave birth to the baby. But the baby came out of the camel. It had its form, but it came out before time. It had its form. But when it came out, because it came out before time, that's what the camel's supposed to have, what we call premature. The camels would also come out premature. Sometimes we complete our salah with the form. But in that salah, we really say this was a premature salah. Fahiya khidaj. What I want you to do in your next salah, think of seven doors of Jahannam. And think of what power is needed to close each door. And then when you will read Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you will understand power. You will see that one ayat closing one door. And another ayat closing another door. Another ayat closing another. Ulama mentioned there's ikhtilaf in Surah Fatiha, 7 verses or 8 verses. There's ikhtilaf, there's a difference of opinion. They said it seems Almighty Allah kept that difference because there are 8 doors of Jannah. So where Surah Fatiha, each verse was going to close one door of Jahannam, that same verse with its power was going to open up one door also. Now you understand that power. But that person has to read it. So the person asked Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, I am in a salah behind the imam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, read it, fi nafsik, read it to yourself. So they explain, now what does it mean? Some scholars explain that when you are behind the imam, read it to yourself means that now you will ponder over its ma'ani. One is mabani, the mean, the wording. So there are certain salahs where we will read the wording. And while reading the wording, you think of the meaning. That's the easier way. Then there is something called muraqabah. Muraqabah, you'll hear some people when they teach zikrullah, they say 2 ways of zikr. I want you to make both. You will make zikrullah with the tongue. So la ilaha illallah, la, and they say concentrate. And then the sheikh will say, and now I want you to make zikr without the tongue. Now you will only concentrate on the meaning of la ilaha illallah. Besides you Allah, no one. Besides you Allah, no one. Salah, we will do both. There will be some times where we'll be reading Surah Fatiha. When you're reading it, try and understand this meaning. I will give you a small description of what this meaning is. But even that little you try to understand, little, you will open up everything for yourself. And there are some salah where we don't read. Your mind will just be on the meaning of Surah Fatiha. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, because I heard Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that Almighty Allah has said, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةِ, I have divided salah. Your salah means Surah Fatiha. I have divided Surah Fatiha between me and my servant. That's what I have divided salah, and salah means Surah Fatiha means you read your Surah Fatiha right. Your entire salah is made. You read your Surah Fatiha right. Your entire salah is made. How it's divided? There are 7 verses in the surah. 3.5 verses is for Allah. And 3.5 verses is for us. 3.5 verses is where we praise Almighty Allah. It's called Thana, to praise. In different ways Allah is praised. 3.5 verses is dua. Thana for Allah, dua for us. Almighty Allah said, I divided the salah, means Surah Fatiha, between myself and my servant. One part is for me, 3.5. One part is for my servant, 3.5. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. It will be mentioned 2 times. Whatever my servant is going to ask now, I'm going to give it to him. This is just Surah Fatiha. At the end of Surah Fatiha, when the servant says, وَلَضَّالِينَ آمِينَ, it comes in the narration, Almighty Allah says, هَذَا لِعَبْدِي. What he asked for in Surah Fatiha, that I gave him already. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. Anything else he asks me, he's going to get that also. At the end of your salah, you'll see, you'll end your salah with dua again. That dua at the ending is based on the Surah Fatiha at the top there. There Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala said, whatever you're going to ask, you're going to get that also. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. When I used to go some places, I never understood, they make dua, at the end of the dua, say, Al-Fatiha. So I never used to wonder, like, what's this Al-Fatiha? Only there the person never know what to do. So when I went to one first place, I asked the person, like, what do you do when you say Al-Fatiha? He says, I thought Al-Fatiha means you must rub your hands over your head. Al-Fatiha meant read Surah Fatiha. Because any other dua you made, but Surah Fatiha has one sentence from Almighty Allah, Wali abdi ma sal. For my servant is whatever he wants. It's like a guaranteed acceptance. Guaranteed. That he'll get Fatiha, whatever else he asks, I'm going to give it to him. This Alhamdulillah. We will only explain this one and then Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. 2 verses of Surah Fatiha so that our mind in the Salah can work on 2 points and we can really get a Surah Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen means all praise, Hamd. All praise is for Allah. Who is the Krab? Rab got no translation that we can give. We can call it a nourisher, sustainer, creator. Rab is one that we call a murabbi, tarbiyah.
that he sees to something growing up, and on every stage he's worried about it, what's happening, what's happening. His attention never comes away. This is called Rabb. The man says, I thank you, Allah. All praise is to you, Allah. Why this word is so important to start our salah? There's one word, hamd, which me and you narrate with, relate lot. Islam and this word hamd. Our Nabi is known as Ahmad and Muhammad. Ahmad means the one who was the most in front in praising Almighty Allah. In this world, no one has praised Almighty Allah like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was given the name Ahmad. Whoever would praise so much Almighty Allah, got a system, as you do, you will get. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's second name becomes Muhammad, the one who is praised the most in the world. He praised the most. The result was going to be he would be the most praised. In the next world, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there's one flag. It is known as liwa'ul hamd, the flag of the praise of Almighty Allah. He says, that flag, I will carry that on the day of Qiyamah. He says, I will intercede in front of Allah with such words of praise that no one has ever praised Allah in this manner. And myself, I have never praised Allah. When he will make those praises, liwa'ul hamd, he'll carry the flag of praise. He will be given a place called Maqam Mahmud, the place which is praised. That you carried the flag of praise, you will be given the seat which is praised. He said, there's a certain place which Allah has kept for one servant of his. He said, I think that servant is going to be me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed what praise does. Then he spoke about me and you. He said, my ummah is an ummah known as Hammadun. They're a nation who always praises Allah. He was saying it in the manner to say, I want you to be that nation. Hammadun, they're always praising Allah. On one occasion he said, they praise Allah when things are good. He said, they even praise Allah when things are difficult. Hammadun, what it meant is, that as I was Ahmad, which made me Muhammad, and as when I carried the flag of Hamd, I was given Maqam Mahmud, I want you, my ummah, to be Hammad. You must praise Almighty Allah so much that you become Mahmud. That Allah makes the whole world after that praise you. The angels praise you, the animals praise you, the fish praise you, the birds, everything praises you. Hamd. To create that hamd, he said, your salah can't take place unless you say, Alhamdu. Praise Allah. I want you to think of this power of this word. In the world when one Allahu Akbar is said, one Allahu Akbar. And everyone in the world is performing salah, whether it's Fajr, Zuhr, Asr. Think of one dua or one ayat you're reading so many times in the day. It's Surah Fatiha. You are praising Almighty Allah so many times you'll never realize it. You read your two rakats Fajr, Sunnah. Then you read your Farz. Then you read your Zuhr 4. You read your Zuhr 4. You read another two. If you ask a person, what is that one sentence which you have said the most in the day? He say, I can't remember. It is Allahu Akbar and it is Alhamdulillah. The praise of Almighty Allah. It was brought in the beginning, the salah, to say that every one of us must be Hammad, to praise Allah. When that praise starts, the doors of Almighty Allah's mercy opens up. And he says, my servant, what you want? So he says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, one verse. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, two verses. Maliki, Umiddin, three verses. On each verse, Almighty Allah says to the angels, look how my servant is praising me. Hamidani, Abdi, Athna, Alayya, Abdi, Majjadani, Abdi. Almighty Allah speaks to the angels. Look at him. Look what he's saying. And then he says, Iyaka na'budu. So three is finished. Three and a half. Iyaka na'budu. O Allah, let it be that I only worship you. Iyaka na'budu. Three and a half. Almighty Allah says, that three and a half is for me now. Now for my servant, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Allah, whenever I ask for help, let it be I only ask you for help. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. I got a road to walk, which is a very dangerous road. But if you allow me to walk on this road, this is called اِهْدِنَا, hidayah. Pull me on the path. Take me on the path. So I will end with this one here. Hidayah, we normally mean guide me along the path. There's two ways of being guided. In the past when there was no GPS,
We know when we were lost on the roads, we would stop by the garage. In the past, people in the garage, petrol station, they knew roads, they knew places. The other day, my phone wasn't working, it never have charge. So it was the first time I had to stop at a petrol station to ask the person, I need to go here. That man never know the town exists also. There was once upon a time that man at the petrol station could send you all the way to Durban, like he knew everything. This man never know the town also. He just looked at me and said, don't know that town. Don't know. He said, go ask that guy in the shop. I went in the shop. Don't know the town. Everyone now is a phone. The whole thing is a phone. Then we understood how dependent we came. But at that time, if you met a person on the road and he told you, I need to go somewhere. And you know the normal story, he'll tell you that you go here and you turn here. And even when you don't understand, you're saying, GGG. Because now he's gone now. He's so many places he took you. You're not going to find the way. And you sometimes get another person. Sometimes you get another person who says that, you know what, if you want to, let me jump in the car. Obviously in South Africa, you'll never do that. You jump in the car and drive, you're going to go somewhere else. But in another country, that man will say, come, I take you. Come, I take you. One man's life changed in this year. One man's life. I mentioned this thing today, I forgot this first part. It's a little off the topic, but I'll just end on this one here. This person, they visited him in Qatar. And they found that he's such a unique man of tabligh. And so wealthy. So after he gave them a very nice dawah, he's telling them how his life changed. So he say he and his friend, after the party, were moving. And they passed by one car. That man was trying to change his tire. So when they passed by, he went past, he stopped in front and he said that that old man, I have to go help him. So his friend said that that guy got a beard. Got a beard. And because me and you were like a stinking, because they were drinking, he said, somebody else will help him. He said, I can't leave the uncle. So he went there and he's asking the uncle, you know how to change. And they saw after they can't change the tire. So the uncle said to him that, you know, no problem. If you can just drop me off at that one house there, then you carry on. Tomorrow I'll send someone for the car. So he goes to the car and he tells his friend that I'm bringing the uncle in the car. His friend says, no way you can bring that guy. You can see how he's thinking. He said, how can I leave the uncle here? He said, no way. Finally, his friend said, I'll take a taxi. So the friend jumped out. The friend grabbed the taxi. He put the uncle in his car. And he drove him to the house. He said, when he came to the house, he was already like in that state. He was partying whole night. So he dropped the uncle at the house. He said, you live here? He said, no, I'm not. I don't live here. I'm with a couple of friends here. So he just opened the door and it happened that their jamaat was there. And there was many of them at that moment were in sajda. He said, he just looked at that sight of people in sajda. So he asked the uncle that, you will mind if I spend the night here? The uncle said, no, you probably come and sleep. But he never sleep that night. Every now and then his eyes are opening and he's looking at these people in salah. So after the Fajr Salah, they had a small program. Then they told him that, you'll sit for the program. He said, I'll sit for the program. They spoke little, but then the uncle told him, you can go now. He said, where go? Can't I stay with you people? So he said, okay, but we're going for like 40 days. We're out in Jamaat. He said, what's this Jamaat? He said, you understand? I'll come with you. So this boy started. He went. He's really like, he was thrilled. His life, beginning of his life. He went out with them. And he says that, in this Jamaat, then the thing happened that, I forgot the remaining part of it. But I know it was so unique that my Ustad one is hearing it. He was just like shocked. But he said this part here where I changed my life because of this car incident. It was a Jamaat from Makkah Mukarramah that came. And this man is telling him, then when he went back, how his whole life like. So this Jamaat came recently. But he said that one day when you saw that car, and my one friend said, no way. And the thought came in my mind, I have to help this uncle. And he helped him. And after that, something very unique, but I just forgot the remaining. Inshallah, one day I remember and I come back here. We'll do part two of that uncle story. I just forgot it now. So at the ending, so one way of hidayah is the man tells you, come, let me drive you. So ulama have written it so beautifully. When you will say, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, one translation you can say, Allah, guide me to the straight path. So guidance means show me. The world has been showed the path of Almighty Allah, but it's not everyone who grabbed it. Kitabs came to show the path. Anbiya showed miracles to show the path. There were sometimes when pebbles spoke and said, this is the Nabi of Allah, the path. Some people had dreams and the path was shown. Many a person saw the path, but it is not everyone who sees the path that walks the path. So they said one dua of hidayah is, Ira'atu tariq. Allah, show me the path. But that dua is not sufficient. Because some people are 100% convinced that what they're doing is not right. But But you tell them then change, they can't change. There's a second one which is known as Isal ila al-matloob. Isal ila al-matloob means let me reach my destination. Let me reach my destination. That here's my hand. And oh Allah, do not let my hand go until I land up where I have to land up. When you will read this, Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim, I want you to think of that meaning. Isal, let me reach matloob, my desired place. That even if I pull back, Allah, you pull me front. Even if I try to go to the right, you push me back on the path. Even if I try to fall on the left, you push me back. ثَبِّتْنِي عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ. Every time I'm trying to go out, you're just pushing me back. You're pushing me back and let the journey start. That individual who will read Surah Fatiha in this manner, he will see on the end of 7 verses, the doors of Jahannam are closed. The doors of Jannah are open. These 7 a'za has opened up to all goodness. And his salah has only started. This is how Sahaba radiallahu anhu learned from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they read Surah Fatiha in the salah, it was like something else. Like, may Allah tabarak ta'ala in the barakah of these people who narrated the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us, and how it came with such a beautiful word, qasamtu salah. I have divided the salah between me and my servant, meaning Surah Fatiha. Half is for you, half is for me. When the individual reads it like that, he says, Allah, I'm talking to you. Half is for you, half is for me. He'll read it in a different manner. Again, we are not going to read Surah Fatiha. We're going to use Al-Fatiha to open. It's called, we will use it to open. The one who opens, he does a different job. He will use it to open up the doors of Jannah, to close the doors of Jahannam. He will read it with power. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ